Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All heck has broken loose here. All heck has broken loose in the studio. Chris Hoke has come in fired up. Ron, we already knew, was fired up. I have overdosed on caffeine. Even Folsey's in this kind of mood. Hokey, have you ever played with anybody at any level who wore a one-bar helmet other than a kicker? That doesn't fly, does it?
Oh,
when you
man.
Were a kid, did anybody on the field have a one-bar helmet?
I don't know how you could do that. I mean, maybe a punter. I can't think of a time when I knew a guy with one bar. But I'll tell you what, if I wore one bar, man, I would come home with a black eye every day.
I know.
I mean, it's like even with
broken
the
nose.
Broken nose, yeah. I mean,
Theismann, Joe Theismann wore a one-bar helmet.
I wonder how many times he got punched in the face. I
mean, probably, let's
be honest. I mean, I think as a lineman, if I had a one-bar face mask, I think that I would just be trashed every day because your hands come up there. Even though they call hands in the face now. Back when I was playing, hands in the face was just an art.
Ron, you didn't have a one-bar helmet when you were a receiver. No, I'm serious.
That's why I was able to see that. That's why
he
was able to.
Okay. Do you remember your helmet?
I do.
Was it like just a quarterback? Yeah. The one.
What are you trying to insinuate here? That he wore a leather helmet?
No,
or what? What are you trying to say?
Exactly what he's doing. That is exactly what he's doing.
Theismann came after you with a one-bar helmet, Ron. It's not an insult. It was a curiosity. You didn't know Ron was a good receiver at Beaver
Falls. I did. We talked about it last week. He had that big touchdown catch. Right?
Yes, Wilkinsburg. Yeah, 67 yards.
Yeah. How did it go, Ron? Short? Like a slant route that you took to the house or a bomb?
Just a straight fly.
Go route.
Just a go route.
Yeah.
You ran underneath it.
Ran right by the guy.
Kind of what the Steelers need right now. We need a little nice go route. Let the ball go up in the air.
Somebody needs to throw it down the field.
Did you score a touchdown? I should know this already in your career.
No, I haven't.
College? High school?
No, I've always been a lineman.
Not one time was there a ball in the end zone that you jumped on?
No. I wish I could have. I wish I could say I could. I
mean,
I think I'm making a story up and saying, yeah, but there's nothing. I can't even think of a story to make up. I've never even been that close.
You strike me as you could have played fullback as well in high school.
I was a straight guard. I didn't start playing football until I was a freshman in high school. And I played guard. Then I went to D-tackle. And I played D-tackle and guard my whole career in high school. And then when I went to college, I was just a three technique.
That's instructive. There's a girl, one of my daughter's teammates on softball, who should be playing volleyball. And everybody thinks it's always too late.
Yeah.
They're 13, 14 years old. You said you didn't play football till
15? Here's the problem nowadays. Everything's you have to specialize in one sport.
You have to specialize. I hate that.
And then the problem is that you limit yourself. And there's a lot of kids that can be good at other sports, but they get stuck on football. They get stuck on baseball, basketball.
And it's never too late.
If you're an athlete, you're an athlete.
That's right.
And that's it. You go out, then you play.
And if you're that age, you should be able to play whatever you want.
I agree with that.
I know basketball coaches have told, if you're going to play football, I don't want you on my basketball team.
It's become year-round for everything.
It's not so much at the smaller schools. Like you talk about in the WPO, I got kids that play high school football and play high school sports. And if you're at a bigger school, there's a lot of kids. They want you to focus on one sport. It's like they encourage that.
Yes,
and they also discourage doing multiple sports.
Right.
You go to a smaller school. When I was younger, my kids, when we were younger, were at Avonworth School District, great school district. And they played multiple sports, and they encourage it because they don't have a huge student body, so they got to get kids
right.
that are crossovers.
When we were kids, you played football, then you didn't see a football.
No, I played volleyball.
Basketball. Baseball.
Yeah.
You just went into the next season.
When I played basketball in high school, I thought it was Kurt Rambis. I was a big Laker fan.
Oh, you were a good basketball player.
I
saw you play in the North Hills against the team, the Steelers basketball team.
I was a trash guy. I got rebounds, put them back up. That was me.
Who dunked in the games? Randall L. Kiesel? Kiesel's a phenomenal
athlete. Kiesel was a great basketball player, and he still is, I'm sure. But Randall L. was very, very good. I never saw him dunk in a game.
He played for Bobby Knight, Ron.
He did. You
know Randall L. did.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yes.
I didn't know that.
Tremendous
Indiana,
athlete. Tremendous basketball player.
And Ben was a 6'5 point guard in high school.
It's funny. These guys, you know, I remember seeing in the summer.
Ben could have done anything.
I remember seeing in the summer Kenny Pickett won the home run derby.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what Ben would always win. And these quarterbacks, man, they're just athletes.
Like Sidney Crosby stepped to the plate and hit a left-handed homer at PNC Park.
And I remember playing basketball with Ben, and he played ping pong. He played whatever he did. He was good at it. These guys are just athletes, and they got just a gnat for doing these things. He go out there, and he was a point guard, and he was so good with his handles.
Ben, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Those guys are really good.
Tell me he couldn't have played Division I basketball as a 6'5 point guard.
Probably could have.
Ron, where would you like to steer the conversation here?
Well, let's get Hokie's take on what's the matter with the offense. There's a lot of blame to go around. Matt Canada's taking a lot of blame. The quarterbacks. Now the offensive line, I think, is protected better than I thought they were going to. And then we had Todd Haley on yesterday, used the word sloppy to describe the wide receivers. Where do you put the blame?
I think there's blame that could be pointed at everybody. I don't think it's just one person. In one play, it's one position. Another play, it's another position. You run the football, and the very first play of the game, it's been well-publicized. Talking about Najee, instead of hitting it down the middle and putting his head down, he bounces out and you know, gets, what, no gain or a loss, and he could have gotten 3 or 4 or 5 yards on the first carry of the game at minimum. So, you know, he bears some blame there. Then you have the offensive line who gets beat at the point of attack at times. I saw guys, James Daniel, I saw a guy, Dotson. I've seen other guys get beat at the point of attack, just flat out, just stood up and thrown aside and plays being made. Then you have, you know, in protection, they're doing a pretty good job. You know, they gave up, I think, one sack that was their fault last week. I think two of the sacks were Trubisky's fault. He could have thrown it away or do what he does, dink it down, get rid of it, but he held on the ball too long. One time he thought he could outrun the defender. And just slowed down. That was kind of an odd play. And then you go on to the receivers. They are open a lot, but they are sloppy. I can see what Todd was saying. I saw a couple times where they ran into each other in routes. They were in each other's space rather than having space and separation on routes. So they all can improve. They all can get better. And I just think that right now they're not where they need to be.
I brought chicken salad today, Ron, and I'm willing to share with you and Chris during the break.
Sounds delicious. I had a really good chicken salad last week.
What kind?
And with a croissant. Mm. It was really good.
Very nice. Can you put on your headphones, Chris?
Yeah.
I've got something to play for you.
Little chicken salad?
No.
You got to plug it in. Game.
Oh, I got to plug it in.
Run game issues.
See, so
Ron can instruct you. Ron, go over there and help him, for God's sakes. He's confused.
Give me a chance.
Please, do it now, Ron. Ron's a little sensitive today, I'm sensing, Folsy,
well,
isn't he?
He asked me about the leather helmets, if I played with them or not.
He's still reeling from that comment.
He's reeling.
He is.
It wasn't even insulting. I asked him if he played with a one-bar helmet. I could picture.
Chris knew right away what you were doing.
That's following up on last week when you told him that he wouldn't even pay the bill. That's week-to-week shots.
Yeah, every week it's a shot at Ron.
What are we listening to?
A receiver in the 70s in high school. With a one-bar helmet. Lance Allworth. Go look up Lance Allworth. One-bar helmet. I'm of the same age as Ron, basically, and guys sometimes played with one-bar helmets. Merrill Hodge might have, and he was on the Football and Podcast with Ben this week. So I want to pin you down on this run game, Chris. Okay. I want you to listen to what Merrill Hodge says about Matt Canada's offense, and I want to hear if you agree on these two points, really, that it's not an NFL offense. And the other part is that he actually draws defenders into the box with some of his gimmicky ways.
So there's two different clips here. Do you want to hear the running game one first?
Yes.
This probably is the only running game that I've ever been a little confused on. I don't think that when you look at just how he designs the run, I don't know that he threatens the box. Actually, I think he adds more people to the box and he puts more people in bad spots.
Okay.
In the running game, I mean, on like some of his motions, they bring people in and they don't affect any of them. Like the jet stuff isn't affecting anybody. You're pulling somebody else into the box. You're not affecting anybody on the back end. So now you got more people in there than you even wanted. Mm. I mean, there's just schematically, there's some stuff that doesn't make sense with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not a big guy on these gimmick plays. I don't, you know, I saw a couple times they ran that, option shovel pass, and I think it does bring people into the box, and I don't think it really opens up your offense and gives you an ability to push the ball down the field. And
his point is not is that they're not gimmick plays in Canada's offense; they're a staple of his base offense.
But it's everybody, they're gimmick plays. I think that's part of who he is. People always talked about Canada's office. We want to see Canada's office. This is it. This is it right here. The creativity. That's what
oh
he does.
Oh, my.
What's oh, that? My is right. If this,
this
is his
offense. I said, oh,
yeah,
my.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the reality is we've seen this now for 17 games last year, 18 games, the playoffs, and now two games this year, and it's the same.
Do you agree with the simple contention that some of these – he just talked specifically about the jet sweep, that it doesn't affect anybody in the back end on the other team and, in fact, draws more people in the box than you would have wanted?
I think it brings people up. I don't know. I got to go up and look at that. I mean, that's his opinion. I don't know if that's true, but I'll tell you this right now. The jet sweep overused is ineffective. Now, they hit it good last week with Olszewski. That was a great timing play.
Game.
But when you run it five or six times with Chase Claypool in week one, okay, after the first, second time, it loses its excitement and it loses its effectiveness. The reality to get that ball is because everybody's stacked in the middle and you want to get the ball on the edge quickly, right? That's the whole purpose of that. And what it is, it's conceding that we can't – if you run it five or six times, we can't run the football. And so we got to try to get the ball on the edge and try to trick you and beat you with speed. And so is it bringing guys up? It could be bringing guys up. I haven't looked at it that closely. And Merrill knows film. He watches film. He understands that. But the reality is why – the reason why he runs those plays is because they can't run a traditional offense and be effective.
Well, that's the other clip, right? That this one I thought was even more damning what Merrill had to say about the offense. You want to hit it there, Folsey?
But if you took away their gadgets and misdirection, half their offense is gone. And, you know, gadgets and misdirection are not – those are usually wrinkles.
Sure.
They're not the foundation of an offense, you know. And when you see route wrinkles. Combinations and you don't see that, you don't see, like, pro stuff. Like, I'll tell you this, Pitt's offense had more pro concepts. Because when I was watching Pickett come out, I was like, the one thing to evaluate him, I was like, okay, can he throw concepts, pro concepts? Well, yeah, because he's doing it in college. I don't have to guess. I don't have to guess that he can do that. I watched him do it.
Pitt has more pro concepts than the Steelers.
Well, that was Whip. I mean, Whip was the offensive coordinator for Pickett last year.
Mark Whipple.
Mark Whip. Yeah,
Whipple. Nebraska.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was an NFL offensive coordinator.
He was Ben's quarterback's coach.
So he knows how to call offense. And he's been, over the years, whether you like him or not, he has been pretty productive as an offensive play caller.
Who?
Yeah.
Whipple. But the point is that he's calling that he's calling this offense an amateur offense.
Listen, I think anybody can say that. I think anybody with an amateur eye can see that it's not an offense that threatens a defense. They haven't threatened a defense. It's just go out there. It's kind of like what they're saying about Matt Patricia right now. But this Matt Canada has been offensive coordinator his whole life. They're talking about that there's no creativity. There's nothing really that challenges you out of the Patriots offense. They came out and they just played, you know, efficient football. I mean, it's one thing if you're out here, you know, putting together an offense and you're able to put points on the board. But when you can't put points on the board and you keep throwing the ball, I mean, you look at his spreadsheet in terms of where he's throwing the football, Starkey, the ball is going to the left 70% of the time and about 10 yards or less. The ball is going to the right outside hash maybe 20% of the time. And over the middle, they had three passes in this game over 10-plus yards. 10-plus yards, three. One was an interception, one was a catch, and one should have been picked. It went off the face mask of Freiermuth. I mean, there's no creativity in terms of route concepts, really getting the ball, getting the receivers crossing the field, throwing those deep cuts in cuts that you saw the Patriots. I remember one game last week with Mac Jones. They threw an in cut, I think it was to Aguilar. He caught it. They called it back for holding, I believe. They went right back to the same play. He caught it again in the same spot. It was a deep in cut. And we're not seeing any of that, any kind of concepts to open up a defense and create some space for some throws inside zones.
So how much blame do you put on Trubisky?
I think there's a lot of blame on Trubisky. I think that he goes to his first option, and if he looks downfield and he doesn't see anybody wide open, he's taking the safe throw and he's throwing it down. He's checking out. I think the key word here for me on this offense, there is no trust. Trust in the run game, trust in the pass game, and I take that all the way back to they have not played a lot together. Trust is developed. It's not given. It's earned. And trust is an offense. You got to practice in the preseason. You got to go out there and you got to play in the preseason games. You got to play and practice. And when you have Najee didn't play a lot in the preseason, very little at all. Trubisky played a couple series. How do you gain trust? How does Najee hit that hole and know that hole is going to develop? He doesn't have a lot of experience. How does Trubisky know that my guys are going to pop up? And how can I know that if I throw the ball down deep, I can trust that Chase Claypool is going to go up and catch the ball?
I hear that.
There's trust.
But it seems like the more fundamental question here.
Is this offense limited?
Yes. And even if they trusted each other implicitly, would it work?
I think there's a lot more to it, but the short answer is yes.
Do they handcuff Trubisky?
It can work, you said.
No, I think this offense is limited. I don't think that there's a lot of opportunity to go down the field. I think there's a lot to this, and I think there's a lot of things that we don't know. A lot of things that we don't know. But the reality is that there's not enough there for them to move the ball down the field consistently and put up a lot of points.
Well, it just seems to me that Trubisky's handcuffed to a degree, too. Are they preaching to him, don't turn the ball over?
You would think that, right? With some of the comments that have come out of the South Side, you know, him talking about him with the audibles and not being able to audible, right? It's limited.
It's ridiculous.
And we're still working on where he's going, you know, where his options are. He doesn't have free reign in the offense. He doesn't have the ability to come up and look over the defense and say, I want to go here. He is being told, okay, first, you know, which there are first, second, third options. But he doesn't have free reign to go up there and check it and say, "Hey, they're heavy to the left. I'm gonna switch it to the right, or I'm gonna come in and I'm seeing man, so I'm gonna go to a man beater." I don't think he has the option to make those.
No, he said he doesn't. He pointed out the second last possession of the game, 3rd and 8, and he threw it 2 yards to Najee, and he said just the other day, "I saw zero coverage there. Wanted to go deep, but I went with the play call."
Yeah, and here's the thing, guys. There are guys that are running open down the field, and there are guys that are breaking free on these plays. And he's got this internal clock, and I think he's really risk adverse. I think he's worried about making a mistake that would put their team in a bad situation. And he recognizes that he's a bridge quarterback. At some point, he's going to handle
the playoff.
So he doesn't want it to be sooner rather than later.
Okay, let's talk about that. Because in a game, how many possessions did they have in the game? He mangled 3 of them. The first one with an inaccurate throw on 3rd down, the horrible interception, and the last pass of the game to Najee, who was nice matchup on a linebacker, and he underthrows.
But we saw Ben do that last year.
Okay, but how long for Trubisky?
Tomlin said on Monday he seemed like he was going to be pretty patient, but he's got to say that, right? Tomlin never sends messages. Well, very rarely. I'll take that back. Does he send a message through the media? And I think that Tomlin talks like he's going to be patient, but if this offense cannot move the ball this tonight against the Cleveland Browns, and it's still the same as the first 2 weeks, I think he's got to seriously consider making a change this week because they have a long weekend and they have a full week.
How about a coordinator change?
I don't think he would do that.
That's not their way.
No, I don't think he would. I don't know much about the quarterback's coach who's been offensive coordinator in the league. I don't know about how successful
he was with the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how successful he was. I don't know how much confidence Tomlin has in him. I see these are a lot of variables that I don't know if anybody knows really. But I don't think he'll make a change. I think he could go to Canada and say, "I want this, call this." I think I think that would happen. I think he is. I think he did this week. I think this week he challenged some people, said we're not going down the field enough, we're not throwing it up enough. We got to do a little more. We got to be a little more aggressive offensively.
All right, I think everybody agrees with that. That if this goes way south with Trubisky tonight, that there's a 10-day break and that the Steelers could go to another quarterback. I think most people would say that would be Kenny Pickett. You were on with Bob after the game. You think Tomlin might be inclined to go with Rudolph?
I said, in my personal opinion, I don't have any inside information on this.
You were just saying.
My opinion is this, that I think that if the Steelers, in order to get the running game going, they've got to get teams at a single high. They have one safety deep in the middle of the field. You have 2 corners on the outside covering. And whether it's man or zone, and then you bring your safety up, which stops the run. It's very difficult to run the ball when you have 8 guys in the box with that 8th defender being the safety. You try to get him in a 2-shell, try to get him back out, they have to defend the pass. The only way you can do that is to push the ball down the field. That's what Mason does. Mason pushes the ball down the field. And so it's all dependent upon this. Does Coach Tomlin, does he seriously want to hold Kenny Pickett out this year and let him learn? If that's what he seriously wants to do, then the option is to go to Mason, and Mason will be able to open. I really believe that Mason's going to be able to loosen up a defense, and we'll be able to run the ball more effective because he'll be able to he throws a good deep ball. I mean, can we all agree with that?
And he has nothing to lose.
And
either,
listen,
Joe,
like Trubisky.
If he goes in, it looks like Trubisky's afraid of his career here. What does Mason have to lose by throwing
nothing
it down the field? But say it's intercepted. What's he going to do, get booed?
Cookie, but listen to this too. Here's the thing: is we talk about, well, he doesn't have the, you know, what it takes to run in the Canada's offense. He can't run around. Where have we seen Trubisky run a lot? Have you seen Trubisky run a lot? I haven't seen him really scramble.
No, they're not using that part.
What I'm saying. Everybody was saying, Trubisky and Kenny fits better in Canada's offense. Well, what is Canada's offense, number one? And number two, I haven't seen any of that from Trubisky, so why not put Mason in there, let him sit in the pocket? He's going to stretch the field. He's going to connect on those deep throws. He's going to loosen up a defense. Now, the question is, if he does it and they want to go right to Kenny, it's time.
It all
depends on how badly they want to sit Kenny to let him learn.
Right.
Or they want to put him in there and let him grow.
Well, I'll ask you next what you think.
I think the growth is exponentially quicker and faster if he plays because you're learning.
That's what I want to get to.
That's what Rod Woodson said.
Let's get to that next. We're going to play you a Rod Woodson quote and talk about the quarterbacks. I mean, really, we could talk about 8 billion different things, but who's going to be the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers seems to be question number one almost before anything else can fall
into place.
I think
number one right now in my mind is you got to win. Whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it takes to win.
Well, maybe the Browns will help them out. They helped out Joe Flacco last week.
Oh, unbelievable, huh?
Let's talk about that coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hokey, please put your headphones on. How was the chicken salad?
It was delicious. I'll tell you what, that was some of the best chicken salad I've had.
Ron, would you
agree? Very, very good.
And very generous of me.
Thank you very kindly.
Thank you. I was just going to say, thank you very kindly.
Now I feel bad because I never offered Volsey any chicken salad.
That's all right. We got a separation here, a wall of separation.
Yeah, I just didn't think of it. Let's play for Hokie Rod Woodson yesterday.
All right, hang on 1 second.
I should like Rod. Rod's such a great guy.
I would love to see Pickett play with these young players on offense. You got young receivers. You got a young running back. We still got some issues on offensive line, but I think to let those guys grow together and to mature together and have a chemistry together on the field is really going to help this football team later in the year. So I would love to see them pick an opportunity. Obviously, they're not going to do it on a short week, but hopefully after this week, they'll get that opportunity come next week.
he's the future, just like Burrow was. They let Burrow grow with his guys through a horrible season where he was banged up. Why not let Pickett grow with
his? I don't disagree with Ron. I that's a great take. And, you know, and so that's what I told you. I said in the last segment, it all depends on how badly they want Kenny to sit and learn or they want to put him in the field. And there's benefits to both, right? You can argue both sides. Pittsburgh wants him out there now because he's a pick guy. If he came from South Florida, if he came from Florida Gators, it wouldn't be the same thing. He's a pick guy, so everybody wants him now.
I disagree. And Ron has said that too. If they took Tim Tebow, who went, 27th in the draft, if they had Tim Tebow right now, two-time Heisman winner, first-round pick, and we were watching this offense,
I think it's different.
They wouldn't have been yelling. They
it's
wouldn't
not,
have been yelling
apples,
Tebow.
It's not apples to apples.
They wouldn't
it,
have been yelling
complete,
Tebow in the last game.
This is completely different. Because he's a pit guy.
That's my
feeling. I disagree.
Completely,
completely
different. Now, listen.
He thinks they'd be yelling for Malik Willis.
They'd be yelling for any first-round pick anywhere.
Jamarcus Russell?
They would have been in Buffalo.
Hey, so,
the number one pick overall? Yeah, I think they'd want him to play.
Maybe now what we know about it, but back then they would have. Here's the thing. I really believe that there's a lot of this because of the sentiment for Kenny. Oh, Kenny's good. I don't want that to get lost in here at all. I think he's going to have a great career here in Pittsburgh. But there is a lot more angst, and there's a lot more pressure to put Kenny in because he's a Pitt guy. Because people here, the majority of Pittsburgh Steelers fans are Pitt fans.
But that's Rod Woodson, who has no horse in that race,
I said I agreed with his take. Oh. I agree with his take. It all depends on what Coach Tomlin and Omar Khan want to do. Do they want to let him sit and let him learn that way, or do they want to throw him into the fire and let him have baptism by fire? You learn both ways. I think that your learning curve is accelerated on the field, but there is a greater risk of losing a guy like that. You talked about David Carr, right? You talked about the Tim Couch. And there's other ones that we're not talking about that got thrown in the fire that didn't have an offensive line that was spectacular.
And get the heck beat out
and get
of
the
him.
Heck. Now, think about it. Ben was thrown in there early. But Ben had an awesome offensive line. He had an awesome running game.
And defense, a supporting cast.
And the awesomest defense.
Including the best backup nose tackle who ever lived.
17-1 record.
When you stepped in for
That's
Big
it.
Snack.
Big Snack's the best. Big
how
Snack.
Good, how
big,
good was he?
It was so good. And it was so fun to play with. The guy. This was a guy who was so physically gifted that – I mean, he had good technique, but he didn't have to play good technique, and he still was able to dominate.
Joe, do you remember the one game when he got a penalty or something? They called a penalty on him, and he was ticked. And center went back into the quarterback and knocked
with
him
one
down.
Arm.
Literally knocked him down.
He had like Popeye arms. You know what I'm saying? It was unbelievable.
Yes.
And you know, it's funny when we were sitting here in the last segment, when I was listening to Mirage, my phone rings. It's Hamp. He's FaceTiming me, so I clicked it open and I showed you guys Hamp. But we're all still really close. We still talk to each other. But he was so fun to play with, and everybody loved Hamp.
Everybody. I tell the story. I go in a cafeteria before in the morning. White players, black players, offensive players, defensive
everybody.
Players,
special teams,
and he's holding court with that big smile. But my best one memory, and I got to tell the story. We're getting off target here. When you guys went to the White House and Bush. Blew by Cowell.
Nobody believed that he knew Bush like that. Nobody believed him.
Blew by Dan Rooney to hug Casey.
Hamp.
And Hamp had the biggest smile on his face.
It was vindicated.
We work out together at Texas.
Well, everybody was busting his chops for months saying, no way, no way. And sure enough.
That is great.
Passed by everybody, went right to Hamp.
He literally knocked Dan Rooney aside.
Love it. Yeah. He was the greatest.
But what were we talking about? We were talking about.
Well, Pickett, and let me play devil's advocate here. On the idea that you could harm him by, you know, turning him into a David Carr. There's always that risk, but I think he is on a team with a really good defense. I think he is on a team with a first-round pick at running back and with weapons all over the place.
Pick at running back who's not healthy.
Okay, but
offensive line that's still growing.
I was going to say the line, they just put $70 million. You're never going to have a guy. How many rookie quarterbacks in history have walked into a situation as good as Ben?
No,
is this
going to
get appreciably
very
better?
Few.
Like, when do you say with Pickett, okay, now it's a good situation?
I think the offense gets better as Najee gets healthier. I think the offense – I mean, listen, and Najee – everybody wants to point to Najee not hitting the hole. He did that once or twice in this game, but there were times when he put his foot down and he got into the hole. You could tell he's not healthy because he's not exploding into tacklers. You saw him last year blowing through people. I mean, he had a high rate of forcing missed tackles, didn't he, last year? He ran over a lot of people. He's not doing that right now. He's coming in. His pads are a little high, and that's just from a lack of practice, a lack of playing. Every year's a new year, and if you're not healthy, you're not conditioned yet, and he's not out there. But the guy's a special player. There's no question about it. It's just you're not seeing it right now on the field because he's not healthy, hasn't had a lot of snaps. And I think once he gets better and he gets healthier and he gets into the flow of the season, the offensive line is growing every game. They're markedly better protecting in the pass. They're improving in the run. You see some really good run blocking plays, and you see some ones where they just get physically beat. They got to improve there. But as that moves, I think then it can mix itself more. It lends itself more to an opportunity for Kenny to start.
Joe, if they go to Pickett, do you think they'll let him call an audible or two?
Well, that's the other question. I mean, are you?
No, they got to guard him even more than they guard Trubisky.
Right. Yeah, are you going to ruin him by just making him into a robot while Canada's
You've got to allow them to go out there and play with the feel of the game. These quarterbacks prep and they study film and they study defenses and they study tendencies to know when they get to the line of scrimmage, they can make adjustments. And that's what makes a good quarterback is the one that's able to audible, the one that's able to read a defense and read and be able to see a blitz coming and be able to throw against that or audible to go on the other side and taking advantage
Maybe
of the team's strength.
Maybe it'll all be moot tonight. Did you guys see this note?
What's that?
Josh Roundtree, if the Steelers hope to get the downfield passing game going, it might be a challenge. Wind's expected to be up to 30 miles an hour tonight.
It's always windy there, isn't it?
Do you think that gives the advantage to the Browns because they run the ball?
They run
the
ball.
I would think.
I can't ever remember going to a game in Cleveland where the wind off of that lake isn't ridiculous.
I've been there some brutal games. I remember one game.
Well, that Thursday night was the coldest I've ever been in my life.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I remember being out there one time and running on the field. He would come off. I'd run in. I felt like my feet were ice blocks. I felt like I put my foot into a large ice cube rack.
That was that Thursday night game that you lost like 13-6. Ben warmed up Cookie. In the tunnel. He didn't even go out on the field.
I couldn't even
so
feel my feet running out there on the field.
That was the Brady coldest. Quinn game, right?
It was unbelievable. Yeah.
That is the coldest I've ever been in my life that
was
night.
I think there's one other game that was really, really cold to me. When we played here in the AFC Championship game.
New England.
Against New England. It was like minus
11,
minus
17.
Well, they cheated every game, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But anyways, minus what? It was minus 11, 12, 7, whatever it was. It was minus big time. And it was, I mean, you would literally be sitting on that heated bench, warm. What kind of warm? And then you'd go out there ready for waiting for the, you know, during the commercial break, and you'd wait for
it. And you'd freeze.
And by the time you got to the huddle and the ball was snapped, you were shaking. Have you ever felt like when you've been shaking so much that it's like you're shaking at your core?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you were doing in there.
I got thrown out of Brunner's Bar and Grill when I was about 20 and had to walk home in my socks in the snow.
It's just socks, nothing else?
Well, no, I had clothes on that night.
Well,
no
you said shoes. You got thrown out, so I didn't know if somebody... You know.
No shoes.
No shoes.
Where were your shoes?
That's a mystery that's yet to be solved, Ron. And this was 1988.
He got thrown out.
Where were we? What were we talking about? Seriously, before that?
Quarterback?
Oh, Najee.
About the wind. You said the wind.
Yes.
Yeah, the wind.
Let's turn it around for a minute. Actually, let's come back with this. The Steelers run defense.
Yes.
Whether you're convinced that they actually are better. Nick Chubb, it's interesting to look at his career against the Steelers. He only has one 100-yard game. So let's talk about that coming up next here. It's Cook and Joe with our friend Hokey. Ron, another one-bar helmet. Joe Capp from the Vikings.
Our man horse.
Yes. That's another one-bar helmet. With
a lot of quarterbacks in those days only had the one, one bar.
If
Lance Allworth, though.
That was a good call.
That was a good call.
Big call. I'm getting a lot of stuff on this. A picture of Joe Kopp. And Ron Duguay was the last Penguin without a helmet, I'm told. Ron Duguay.
I wouldn't have known that.
It's Cook and Joe and Hokey. Chris Hoke with us right till the top of the hour. All right, Hokey. Nick Chubb, it's kind of weird to look at his career. He's great. Everybody knows that. But against the Steelers, he only has one 100-yard game.
That's unbelievable.
It is. In eight tries.
He's so good.
Now, the other side, the Steelers, now that I look at it, there's only two teams in the AFC who are giving up more than 128 yards rushing a game, which is what they're giving up. I'm thinking they're better. I think they are better. But it still isn't real pretty in the run
that
defense.
That last drive
where they just
totally
that,
blew.
You know
the
what? I
up,
had
right?
flashbacks. That made me think back to when I was playing, and we I don't think we ever lost a game, maybe one when we were heading the fourth quarter, and that was us. We'd get the ball with 6-7 minutes left in the game, and we just had the ball.
Used to
Jerome,
be the Steelers,
and yeah. we just take the air out of the stadium, and that's what they did to the Steelers in this game. They took the air out of the stadium. But you look at Nick Chubb. Let me tell you something, Nick. This guy is really good, and it surprises me that he only has one 100-yard game. If he doesn't have a 100-yard game and some, I'll be really surprised, because this offensive line, they are very physical. They impose their will on people. They're very well coached. And then Nick Chubb, if it's a one-on-one, him on the corner, that corner probably has about a 75% chance of losing that battle. He's so good. And then Kareem Hunt comes in and changes the pace.
Yeah.
And he's more of a – it's funny that you hear about these guys from Cleveland describe him. He's like a wild man. He just – he just hits the hole. And he just tries to run over people. And if you're there, he's going. But they're both very effective, and they do a great job. This is a 1-2 punch, probably the best 1-2 punch in the NFL against a good offensive line. And without T.J. Watt, I'm a little worried tonight about how this defense –
How do you see the defense without T.J.? Does it just impact everything? Well, obviously the pass rush.
Here's what happens when TJ's in the game. You got to be a little more honest as an offense. They don't respect. Well, I take that back. They respect everybody, but you got what I'm trying to say.
Not to the same level.
They double team Cam Hayward the majority of the time and go one on one with everybody else. You go back and watch the film. The majority of the time, the center slides to Cam. He's getting doubled, right? And so they're always having two guys watching Cam, and the other guy just got to beat one on one passers. Alex Highsmith has to win one-on-ones. And if he doesn't win one-on-ones and put pressure on the quarterback, last week, guys, they only had 3 quarterback hits. They had, I think, one or 2 tackles for a loss. You got to get in the backfield. You got to hit these guys. You got to invert the line of scrimmage, and it didn't happen last week for one reason or another. But T.J. Watt opens up this defense. He penetrates. He makes big plays, and he allows other guys to take advantage of some matchups, or they get unblocked. But Cam Hayward last week was getting abused, but not like it wasn't doing a good job, but there were times when guys were just like circling him and hovering around him, and they could have called holding a couple times, but the other guys, in order to open that up, got to beat one-on-one blocks.
Well, there's a guy who breaks down tape in Cleveland who said they put a lot of extra attention on Highsmith. He's showing some clips here. They chipped with running backs. They used athletic tight end Jonnu Smith to block him. Trent Brown, sometimes they'd have 3 guys get a piece of him, and they had Mac Jones get rid of the football in a second. And he said the big key to neutralizing Highsmith last week was running right at him. Are the Browns going to do the same thing?
But I'll tell you what, Alex Highsmith is really good in the run game. He's really good in the run game. It just wears you down. When teams are physical with you, it wears you down. And then when it's time to throw the ball, you don't have that energy as much as you would have to rush. If a team is pounding the ball and pounding you and pounding you, it physically takes a lot out of you. And I didn't listen. Here's what I saw. I saw Trent Brown doing really good against Alex Highsmith one-on-one. I thought he played him really, really well. His spin move wasn't working. I saw a couple times where he was unsure as well, where he went in there and he tried to fake spin and come back around, whether he was trying to put a fake on the guy or whether he wasn't sure what he wanted to do. But the one hit he had that caused that interception that Mika had there in the first half, he did it. It was an old Troy Polamalu trick. He lined up on the line. He faked like he was dropping to the weak hook and then came and put a nice licking on Mac Jones, which forced that interception. But other than that, I didn't see him beat Trent Brown on one-on-one pass rush.
All right, Hokie, prediction time. What do you got tonight?
I think it's going to be a tough one for the Steelers. I really do. And they can surprise me with an offensive blow. I mean, just absolutely blowing the Browns out of the stadium. But when you're talking about 30-mile-an-hour wins, this is going to come down to who's going to run the football better and who's going to impose their will. And I see the Browns being the better running team. I'm going to go with the Browns here.
Could I change your mind if I told you that this was the night they sort of opened up the run game for Trubisky, that he would have 10 rushes like he did against Belichick all those years ago? Shouldn't that happen tonight?
I think it should happen. Let me tell you this though, Starkey. The Browns with Jacoby Brissett are averaging 28 yards a game the first 2 weeks. That's a lot of points. The Steelers are averaging 18.5, and they put up 14 last week against the Patriots. Right? The week before that, they put up, 23? But one of those touchdowns was on a pick six.
My only argument there would be they went against a really good defense against Cincy, and Belichick and the other guys went against Carolina and the Jets.
The reality is the reality, right? They put up points.
I have to base reality, too, on your opponent.
No, but it's an NFL, it's an NFL team, right? These are NFL teams.
Barely if it's the Jets, but yes.
These are NFL teams, and they put up 28 points, and you have to give some credence to that, Starkey. And so they're scoring points, and it's because they have a form. We talk about identities. I know we're going long here. The Steelers are trying to figure out their identity. The Browns know exactly what they are.
They're going to run the
ball. Run the football. They're like what we were when I played. They were like the Ravens were.
But they went away from their identity against the Steelers last year.
They did. Remember,
at least once and maybe twice.
But Stefanski took a lot of heat for not running more.
And I don't think that mistake's going to be made again. They're going to go out. They're going to run the football. They got two healthy. Remember, I don't know when was the last time they had two healthy running backs, Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. I don't know when was the last time they played when they were both healthy like this. They're both 100% healthy. And so now they can rotate. They can keep themselves fresh. It's going to be a 1-2. They're going to be smash-mouth football. And if they are able to run the football, Jacoby Brissett's going to have some success. I think the Steelers, again, every game this year is going to be tight. Every game, I've had both games I predict to be tight. I think this team game, again, is going to be 20-17 Browns.
Thank you, Dr. Hokenstein.
Chris, it's always a joy, man. You bring up the energy and make it fun.
Appreciate it, guys. Always enjoy. I love being
Look with forward
you.
To next week.
Absolutely.
See you next week, man. All right, Ron. Coming up, Tony Grossi has been covering the Browns forever. And if you want to get a feeling for the vibe in Cleveland tonight, this was Tony just yesterday talking about the fan who threw a bottle at Jimmy Haslam after the Jets lost. Grossi tweets this: "Not sure I've seen an angrier Browns crowd in a long time. Some nut screamed expletives at me with his daughter at his side. Others banged on the press box windows." So it's going to be an angry crowd tonight. I don't know if they're going to be angry at the Steelers or their own team.
Chris, if they're going to be all over the Steelers.
Dog pound.
But if the Browns get off to a slow start, they're going to turn on them big time.
And here's the thing, though. Big time. And Joe Flacco threw the ball all over the field on them.
Yeah.
And blown coverage in the last – they were up by 13 points with less than 2 minutes left in the game.
Yeah.
Blown coverage. I mean, and they both didn't even give any effort to catch up and get – you know, they weren't going to catch them, but then there's no effort there. And then they get the onside kick. And I mean, Joe Flacco, he looked like Dan Marino out there in this game.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. If we throw the ball down the field, we have opportunities. Throw the ball, Starkey.
Thank you, Dr. Hokenstein. Part two. We'll talk to Tony Grossi next about the atmosphere in Cleveland and the state of the Browns. It's Cook and Joe. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. For a great deal on a newer pre-owned vehicle and great service, you'll find it at Sun Chevrolet. Cooler high of 66 today. Partly cloudy, cooler tonight, low of 46. In Cleveland, 25 to 30 mile an hour winds expected for the game tonight.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.